Hello, everyone, and welcome to AWAI's teleconference series. Today, you're joining us for our new program, The Web Copywriter's Clear Path to Profits, and we appreciate you being with us with our special guest, Pam Foster. Hello, Pam.
Hi, everybody.
I think most of you may know Pam. She is a copywriter and consultant who specializes in web and SEO, and she is also the author of our Clear Path to Profits program. Joining her as the moderator for this call is Rebecca Matter. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Denise.
And it's always good to have you on a call. Rebecca, everyone may know, is the Vice President of Operations and our Director of Marketing and the head of our Wealthy Web Writers Program. And she and I were just having a conversation about the conference coming up soon in March, for which we're both clearly excited.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Both Pam and Rebecca will be there. But today's call is to give you folks who have purchased this program more information and insight into the content and how to use it effectively to do what you want to do. So with that, Rebecca, would you please take it away?
Definitely. And one other thing I just wanted to say about Pam Foster is not only is she the writer of this program, and a very successful web writer in her own right, but she's also the winner of AWI's $10,000 challenge this year.
Woo-hoo.
So she is officially our 2009 10K challenge winner. And honestly, it wasn't just about her copy. Pam, you're an excellent copywriter, but it really is about how well you work with clients. One of the gifts that you bring to the table that I appreciate being a marketer is that when I work with you, I know that I'm getting a professional and that you are going to handle the project with the least amount of frustration on my end, which I'm sure makes it easier for you as well.
Sure. Well, thanks for saying. Yeah, I mean,
you're welcome.
It's a long time in coming, and I worked in corporate America for many years, and I got very process-oriented because of it. But I think that having a good process and kind of holding clients' hands through what you're doing, because they don't have any idea for the most part, is going to be really valuable. And that's what I wrote about last week in an article, and then we decided that really it would be great to bring that article to life. So if you haven't seen the article, it's okay for this call that you haven't. You might want to check it out after the call, and it's on the Web Copywriters Clear Path to Profits member page.
Yes, and Pam will also be posting a copy of this interview there as well.
Right.
And so, Pam, at this point, I'd like to just go ahead and let you – I have your agenda here.
Okay.
And so I might jump in from time to time if I have some questions that I think the listeners might have.
Okay.
But if you will just go ahead and take it away. And then for everyone listening, if you do have questions after the call, just write them down, and we'll give you an address at the end that you can send them in. And then if it warrants another call, we can do another call, or we'll do it with a follow-up memo at the end. Okay? So with that, Pam, go ahead and take it away.
Okay. I'm going to be kind of in a rapid-fire mode here because I have seven things that you want to cover on your checklist before you submit your copy to a client to really help them understand what you're sending, you know, so they can look at it with an informed eye and then accept it as written, because you will have set them up for success. You will make it very clear as to what you are providing and why. So this seven item checklist is something I go through. I haven't been that formal about it, but when I wrote this article, I decided, okay, so this is now my formal checklist. I'm going to make sure everything I submit, I screen with these items just to make sure that, you know, I've covered it all. Because these days there are so many little details, and I'm just focusing only on web page content. And the details for even that are numerous and can be overwhelming, especially for the client, because they're not doing this every day. They don't really know what to look at and how to make an evaluation of it. So your job is to help them understand that as best as possible. So I'm going to quickly go through. I've got maybe 5 minutes per category. And if you read the article, it's kind of spelled out, but I'm going to bring it to life for you now. Also, I hope you have looked at the supplement that was available. If you haven't, it's on that Web Copywriters Clear Path page. And you can look at it after this call. But I basically included some screenshots that I just want to mention real quickly to illustrate what I'm talking about in each one of these categories.
And why don't you speak out the URL as well when you get to those specific examples in case someone didn't download the supplement?
Yep, sure. And if you're online now, you can look at it live, sure. Okay, so I'm going to start with, I basically recently came up with 5 C's of content that works, and I'm writing about that on my website because it seems to me that, you know, when you're buying diamonds, you've got 5 C's to look for. Well, when you're buying web copy, when you're writing web copy, there are 5 C's that have to be included, and those are the first 5 things on my list. So they're easy to remember. The first one is it just absolutely has to be customer-focused. It cannot be all about the company. It's got to be about what the customer needs. So in my outline, I had, all the keywords in the content are geared toward the way the client's ideal prospects and customers are thinking when they search online. So it has to address what they're looking for very quickly, solve their needs with simple solutions that really ease the pain or provide, you know, a relief or an answer. And even better, delight them. You know, this is clearly a great solution. Show how you can help them in the best possible way and make it easy for them to learn more or make a purchase. So for this one, I had Diane York Weddings, which is a site I wrote quite a while ago. It's a very tiny micro business, but she has kicked butt in Maine and New England with this website because it's written to address the stress of planning a Maine wedding. Not just on the bride, but on the bride dealing with the bride's mother. So we looked at who's the audience. It could be both. It could be the bride or it could be the bride's mother. And the details of planning a wedding, as you can imagine, can be highly stressful, especially if it's a destination place where you don't live full-time like the coast of Maine, but you want to have a really special, romantic, memorable wedding there. So if you look at the website now or later, you'll see that from the headline to everything about the copy is 100% focused on the stress point, easing the stress point of the reader. So that's number one. It just has to be about that. And I'm not going to talk about how to find the keywords here right now because Heather really covered that yesterday, and she has a great program about how to find the best keywords. But just make sure you're using key phrases that the wedding people, you know, the bride and the bride's mother or anyone else involved would actually use in search engines. Don't assume anything. Just make sure you talk with your client and really get into their heads. So that's the first one, unless anybody, Rebecca, you want to chime in at all on that one?
Nope, I think that's good. Definitely using it. You know, the websites are built for the customer, the buyer, not for the company. And so I think that was a good point, especially with key phrases.
Right. It's funny, yesterday, just to inject a quick thing, I was working on a web page for a client, and they want to appeal to an audience that's very competitive to them. And their competitors have decent websites, but they talk all about them. They say basically, we've been doing this for years, we're wonderful, we're the source, and we're the leading, whatever. And I always put in the back of my mind, so what? That so what? How does that help me? And that's what a great page can make a huge difference if it answers that so what for your audience. So that's
I think so too. My response is always that, well, good for you.
Yep, exactly. Oh, I saw this ad recently that said, we believe, with the headline. We believe in this, we believe in that, we believe in this. And I'm like, what do you do and why do I care? I just don't even know what you're saying here. So that's number one. Make sure it's for the customer. Number two is make sure it's competitive. And as I just mentioned, I often, almost always, look at my clients' competitors to see what they're saying, and I just make sure we say it better. If the client has a true difference that they can offer, that's awesome. It's a slam dunk. You just make sure you promote that. But if they are pretty comparable to what the competitor's offering, just say it better. Offer the solution in better words or bring out something that they may have buried in paragraph 3 and you can put up front. Like everyone offers free shipping or, guaranteed Christmas delivery or things like that. But the stronger competitors, the stronger sites, put that right up front. And some sites bury it. So that competitive edge is really, really important. So when I'm screening my copy, I make sure that it uses keywords that help people, A, find the client's site first in search engines, and then B, on the web pages themselves, demonstrate how the client offers the best solutions among all available.
Do you ever ask your clients when you're kind of setting up before you even write your copy, do you ask them where they feel they differ from their competitors?
Yeah, and part of my process, which you can see on my site, which is contentclear.com, is I have this 7-step process, and the first 5 steps have to do with digging into the details of what your client offers. And only then, number 6, is when you're writing the copy. So there are briefs I use or just in conversation that will really dig into what does your audience need and how can you supply it better than anyone else. So when you're writing the copy, just make sure you've really screened your wording for that purpose. So again, here's an example. If you have it in front of you, great. It's Mr. Lakefront, which is a Maine lakefront property specialist. It's www.mrlakefront.net. And I'm actually looking at the About page because it really says why work with us, you know, instead of some other realtor, because there are, you know, gazillion realtors in every state. These guys are no exception. But they are experts and specialists on Maine lakefront property. And by the way, Maine lakefront property is a key phrase that we saw a lot of potential in, so we made sure that was carried through the whole page. And I apologize if I didn't give the Diane York Weddings URL, but that's literally what it is, dianeyorkweddings.com. So back to Lakefront. I really wanted to set him apart and make sure he was clearly the guy to call if you're looking for Maine Lakefront property. And what is super cool about this website is, again, it was a tiny microsite, but the HGTV show Home Finders or House Hunters found him to help do an episode on a couple who wanted to find a lakefront home in Maine. And they did a
half-hour
show.
How cool.
I know. So I didn't even know that, and I went on their site recently, and it's all featured on the front page. I'm like, all right. Because sometimes with really tiny sites like this, I don't have a real long-term ongoing relationship because they have a very finite budget. We do a good job, and then we move on, and they're happy, and they go about their business. So quite often that'll happen with really small businesses. They don't have a budget to just maintain a relationship with you and keep feeding you work. So it's good to balance small businesses with much larger ones that have ongoing work. So that's my more than 5 minutes on the competitive aspect. Hopefully I've explained that. The next one is clear, the next C. On each page, messages really have to be presented in a very clear path. And it needs to be user-friendly. And I don't know if you guys have heard of usability. There's an expert out there called Jacob Nielsen. Look him up. He's the usability king of the world. He's been writing about it for 10 or 15 years, and he constantly tests how people use websites, how they read copy, and what is the best practices to follow that, you know, the standard things that help people figure out a site really quickly, like what's the navigation, how do I get from here to the next page, that's all usability.
Can you spell his name again for people who are on there?
Yeah, it's a funny spelling. It's J-A-K-O-B, and then, Nielsen, I'm going to have to maybe look it up, but I think it's N-I-E-L-S-E-N.
Okay, we'll follow up with an email afterward.
Yeah, and if you Google his name in any fashion, it'll show up because Jacob is a very unusual, and he's the king of usability. So basically, not only does your copy need to quickly and clearly answer questions, but if you can help make sure that the site is user-friendly, all the better. So you're going to try and answer the questions really fast for people visiting these questions. Where am I? Who are you? What is your company name or brand? What do you offer me? How does it help me? How do I navigate this site? And I'm going quickly, but this is all in my article that you can access. Where do I go next? And then how do I make a purchase or sign up for a newsletter, et cetera? Really clear, clear ways to answer that question. That's what you're shooting for. So my example here is Harper College. It's a community college in the Illinois area, and I focused on the high school student page because they have a lot of questions. Their parents have a lot of questions. And we built a page that answered those, you know, anticipated and answered those questions as quickly and cleanly and easily as possible. The URL is, it's a long one. It's HTTP and then colon double slash go forward dot HarperCollege dot edu slash. And then they have a huge, huge, huge database system, so the next numbers are needed to identify this page to them. Dot CFM question mark P as in Pam, equals 4342. The other way to get to that is to go to harpercollege.edu, look under admissions, and then high school students. Menu. You'll find that. So this
and we'll do
is,
again. We're going to do a follow up after this, just in
case
you can't get to the URLs.
That's a wicked one. Okay, so this just says, why choose Harper College? Thousands of Illinois high school students choose Harper each year. Here are just some of the reasons why, and it addresses each of those questions they hear every single day in the admissions department about. You know, how to choose this school over others. And it's, you know, the quality of the academics, it's affordable, they have a faculty that's dedicated to your success, they're flexible, they offer night classes, weekend classes, they have a welcoming atmosphere like a small school because they're a community college, things like that. And then over on the right, if people want to learn more about Harper, there's all kinds of stuff, including a college guide, a college planning guide. And it's very cleanly laid out, so there's no confusion. So that's that on CLEAR. Okay, the next one is conversion optimized. And what that means in English is, will people open their wallets and buy stuff when they open that web page? And that can be anything from the really long sales pages that are pretty standard with AWAI and a lot of other direct marketers. Bob Bly is famous for having a really long focused sales page that's all about converting people into buyers. And it could also be e-commerce, which is my example here from L.L. Bean. I used to work for L.L. Bean, and we one of the things I wrote about was their holiday decor and holiday gifts. And so I chose the balsam wreath page because I think the copy hasn't changed in 10 years. In a good way. I mean, it's what it is. It's a lovely balsam wreath with pine cones and a bow. And
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right, and it's a fantastic thing to send people who don't have balsam trees anywhere near them because it smells wonderful. So anyway, this page that I showed you, it just really offers a great product, benefits that are delivered via honest and helpful messages, and things that would delight people. Like the wonderful aroma, and then proof and credibility. They're handmade in Maine. They're balsam trees from Maine. You know, people make them on their kitchen tables there or in the back room. It's just an awesome, handmade item. And then an offer. They have a really good price, and I think there's free shipping now or a free gift card at Bean if you buy something $25 or more. So this would qualify. That's a very clear offer. And then how to order it, add to the bag, add to your shopping bag. It's very clear. And then you can check out lots of different details about it. Everything about these web pages at Bean are focused on selling, really just giving everybody a million reasons why this is a great product. So that's the basic premise of conversions, is that everything you write should be adding to the excitement of the product and pushing people forward to buy. Making it easy to buy, that add to bag is in a bright orange button. And I think it was Nick who brought up last year or 2 years ago at the Web Copy Intensive that for some reason orange buttons are really well in tests. people seem to respond to them more than any other kind of order button. We don't know why. It's
so fascinating. That's one of the most interesting things about being in this business is you can run a test and you can think, you can make an assumption on what you think is going to happen or change the littlest thing and think nothing is going to happen, and then the results blow you away. It's always just so fascinating to read the results afterward.
I know. And the only way you can know this stuff without, I don't have a lot of clients who test. They're not in that realm. They don't really just, they're not able to do it or whatever. So they rely on me to see what other people are doing and apply the best practices. And that will happen probably to you a lot. They just don't either have the budget or the staff or whatever. So they don't test a lot of copy. They understand that it could bring great value to them, but they're like, well, what have other people done that's worked?
And how much more value is that? Does that make you? I mean, to come in, you're not just writing their copy and putting it up, but you're coming in with this information of other businesses and other best practices. I think that makes you even more valuable to them.
Well, they really do look to the web copywriters, like all of us, to guide them through a lot of different aspects of what works online. So we're really not just copywriters at all. We become advisors. We become detectives. We have to go find out if we don't know. I just got this the other day. I don't do a lot of PR for my clients or distribution of press releases. So I have a particular client who really wants me to do something because they have an amazing new product that I'm writing for, and it's so new and unique and exciting that they just have to get the word out about this. So I am going to learn very quickly how to optimize press releases and distribute them. I'm going to be on the fast learning curve. I was saying to Denise before the call started that we are all on a super fast learning curve, and it's like doing web copy in a roller derby. That's the way I see it. You know, you just have to jump in and start spinning around and find, you know, the right information and just keep going because it changes all the time. But it's fun. And, you know, as long as you wear padding, no.
We should have AWI helmets and pads.
We should. Yeah, I'd love an elbow pad. So my point is that there are places you can go that test stuff all the time and report on the results. And one of my favorites is marketingexperiments.com. They're an independent company. They're not selling anything at all. They just do these webinars. Basically, they sell partnerships to very, very large corporations who want to sign on and work with them. But for you and me, we get the benefit of all their free stuff. And so if you go on their website, you can sign up to get email announcements when they're going to have their next live webinar on some testing they've done. They test web pages, order pages, landing pages, emails, social media, PPC ads, and then they put out these little free PDF downloads of the entire thing, what they tested and what the results were. So I have been using that stuff for, I would say, at least 2 or 3 years now to say, well, okay, these people clearly had too much stuff on their landing page. They worked with Marketing Experiments to clean out all the navigation and just have one focused message and mission on that landing page. And look at the results. It was like 112% increase in sales. So that kind of stuff is what I use for leverage because, you know, again, not many of my clients will test, so I don't have a lot of my own numbers. But
if I can just jump in real quick and just give advice for anyone on the call who's new, though, don't go there yet because I think you're going to get a little bit overwhelmed with information right now. So if we can get through this, I think what you, Pam, since you've been working a lot longer in this, for those of you who have been working, that gives you that ammunition that you need to really take it to the next level, to come in as a strategic advisor and not just somebody who is writing web content. But what I love about your plan, Pam, is that this is something that people can take away just this and really use this to work with their clients, starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and take it a step at a time. That would be my advice on any of this. Just start with one thing because you have to keep in mind that you, even if you're on day one of this, you already know 100% more than your client does because usually, in most cases, your clients are frantic and busy trying to just run their business. They don't know anything about what makes web copy work, what makes a web page work better than another one, they have no idea. And so even as you just start learning, you already are ahead of the game for them. So just take it a day at a time. That's all anyone of us can do. Okay, so the next C, and I think we're doing okay on time.
I'm
talking really fast, and I apologize if it's too fast for people, but you will be able to get to listen to the recording after.
I think you're going at a perfect pace.
Okay, good. I'm going to do a Rebecca and breathe for 1 second.
No. Everybody take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Get those pens ready to go.
Okay.
Okay, go.
And my dog is off getting groomed, so we won't even be interrupted by that. Okay, consistent. Consistent is a biggie that I think a lot of people forget about. And it's fine if you're doing a landing page to not worry about that. But most clients have more than one page that they'll have you work on. So it's important to make sure if you're helping to control the content, and you don't always get to do that because sometimes, let me start just here, sometimes websites are written by the owner of the business if it's tiny. It could be written by a small group of people if it's a mid-sized company, like somebody in customer service might be writing the FAQs, somebody in IT might be writing some instructions about how to do something. So your role, if you have a chance, is to make sure that that content from page to page is consistent so that it's an appropriate, it's in an appropriate tone that matches that client's business and what they're, who they're speaking to. You use the same fonts and style on every page for headlines and subheads and bullets, that type of thing. And there's a similar look and style of the offers and the calls to action on each page. So my example here is Emma, which is, to make it very clear, they help people send out emails in kind of an automated system, which I use for my clients and my little newsletter tips that I do. It just makes it so easy. So their website has this really friendly, friendly personal tone, and that's myemma.com. And it's just super friendly, like, are you returning? Lovely, log in here. And really friendly, you know, we think it should be easy to use. Goodbye, cluttered interface. It should be made for you. Farewell, generic templates. They just have this fun, friendly little edge to their copy, and they carry it through every single page. And this is really appropriate for their audience. This may not be appropriate for a bank or someone selling, business-to-business equipment. But this is perfect for them, and they've carried it through everything they do. So that's all I would say is when you're writing pages, make sure you understand what the business is about, how their voice is projected in messaging to, you know, their audience. If it's you know, a really small consultant, for example, they definitely will have a personality and let it shine. And that's often the thing that delights and attracts people is that person's personality. And so think about that when you're writing the copy and make sure the pages, if you're coming in new and there are already some established pages, that you're really fitting within that tone consistently. That's important. Okay, that's it for the C's. Now, the next one is how you present your copy so that clients really know where stuff is going to go on the web page and how the copy is going to flow. And that's, so you format it in a layout if you can. And what I do is I have a goofy Word document, which seems to work just fine. And I gave an example in the article that you can find online. And it's basically just a bunch of text boxes that I've moved around, and I use them to represent the web banner and the sidebars and the main text area. I think that Nick also has a super simplified version of this in his program on writing copy. And I just expanded it to really show the entire map of what the website looks like. So I even put in headline will go here, and these are the navigation buttons, and I write them in about contact, FAQs, those kinds of things. So the client is looking at a Word document, but they can see it as if it's a web page, or at least the layout of where stuff will go. And it won't be designed. There's no graphic design involved at this point. It's just, where does the message go?
You'll also hear this called a wireframe. And this is something that, I mean, from a client's perspective, I appreciate this so much when someone takes it to this level, because oftentimes if I just get a series of a page full of content that just says, you know, center line, right column, left column, I don't understand what that actually looks like. I'm more of a visual person. I have to see it. So this helps me understand what Pam's intention is with the copy, because the words are one element of writing for the web, but where it appears and how it's all laid out is a second. So even though she's not designing it and she's not saying, you know, this is the color scheme and this is the flow of the colors and the themes behind it, she's giving me a way to see the copy in a situation where it's actually going to appear in an actual page like this. So it's very, very useful to me as the client.
Yeah, that's good. So I find that most of my clients are visual. They may not say they are, but when you show them the difference between just a raw Word doc with a bunch of words in it and this formatted thing with text boxes that clearly explain, it just helps everyone understand so much faster. And it makes you look professional, even if it's in Word. I mean, I thought of looking into a lot of different programs to make it fancier, but really, for me, Word and text boxes has been the way to go. And one thing about that is different people have different versions of Word. So if you can, also save it as a PDF, because when they open a PDF, it looks exactly the way you wanted it to. And what I do is I send both, because if they want to mark up or make changes, they need to do it in the Word document. Usually you can't do it, but some people can do it in PDF. But a lot of them don't know how or don't want to bother with that, and they just want to make their changes in Word. So I give them both, and then they have an option.
And then there's a lazy person like me who likes to print out the PDF and write on it with pen and fax it back to you.
I think that's fine. That's very clear. I don't mind it at all. In fact, some of my clients, I ask them to do that because they're just not technically savvy or interested in, you know, futzing around with that. So let's see. The things that are in layout that you want to represent are that basically, I mean, this is a basic formula I follow. You can make up your own. But headlines would normally be in a larger, bold text. The subhead would be a bit smaller and still bold. Other sentences you don't want to bold except to emphasize a few key points. You just don't want to overdo font treatments like a lot of bolds and italics. And never underline anything unless it's going to be a link, because that's kind of the classic standard link, you know, style. So
here.
Yeah. So, and then format bullets so they indent properly and wrap nicely. They don't, you know, look awkward. The links are clearly indicated. Now, what I mean by that is, let's say you're going to have on a page, check out our latest boots. And you want that to be a link to a page that has new boots on it. What you would do in Word, and I'm going to just go over this slowly because it's a great trick. You would put your mouse and select the copy that you want to use as that link wording. So check out our latest boots. You will select that. Then you'll go Control K. And I'll put this in my instructions later, but this is a neat thing. And what happens is a dialog box comes up that says Insert Hyperlink. And there's an option to put in an existing file or web page, and all you do is put in the real web address, URL, of that web page in there and hit OK. And suddenly that word, that phrase in your Word doc is a hyperlink.
And on the Mac, it's actually the same. It's just the Command key and the K. Yep.
Okay, that's great. And what that does is it keeps the page from being cluttered. You don't have to write in something like in parentheses, this is going to link to blah, 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 blah. It's an automatic hyperlink, so your client knows what you intended, and even better, the web developer who gets your copy down the road will know exactly where this link is supposed to go. So I can't remember who gave me that awesome tip, but it's really, really helpful. It cleans up the whole page so they can focus on the actual messages and not have this extraneous stuff on the side. Let's see. Photo and captions you need to indicate, and I just do a little text box that says photo of scrumptious chocolate and then put a caption with it. What you know, you might want to do color treatment if there's an established format that you're working with. You know, your client already has a website and every subhead's always navy blue. You might want to put in that copy that the navy blue formatting if, you know, if you're comfortable with that. And then don't forget spell check, grammar check, and the readership score. And what I mean by that is there's something in Word you can there's an article that AWAI put out a couple of years ago that's awesome explaining this, but I'll try to put it in a really short recap. There's something in Word you can use to see how reader-friendly your copy is, and you can check it before you send it out to your client. If you have, if you're writing to, for example, if you're writing to people who may, English may be a second language, and you want to keep it really basic and user-friendly, you can check your score and make sure it's a lower score. Real short sentences, simple words. If it's a sophisticated business-to-business client who understands some jargon and it's okay to use that jargon, your reader score may be higher, but that's okay. That's appropriate for that audience. So you're gonna want to know a lot about the audience before you write the copy, and then just make sure you check that score. It's called the Flesch-Kincaid score, or scale, I should say. And again, there's an article in AWAI. If you didn't see, should I give them the URL?
It's actually, I think we're going to have it linked from the web. You have it linked on your article.
Okay.
So if they go back to the article, or if you go to the Clear Path to Profits, my AWAI page, it's on there.
Okay. And if you're impatient and you want to Google it now, you can go to your my AWAI online, or even just AWAI online, and search Flesch, F-L-E-S-C-H, Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-I-D, and then just see the article will probably come up in the results.
And we actually use that here at AWAI. So if you ever work with us on content, one of the things we'll ask for you to submit at the top of your content, we call it the FK score.
Yeah.
And that is a mandatory for content submission for us, just because it helps us and you get a feel for what level your writing is.
Yeah, and do you guys have a guideline on what you don't want it to exceed?
We try to shoot below a 9.
Right. And it doesn't
but
mean
for
a 9.
Some things, we do want it even simpler.
Right. And it doesn't necessarily mean a 9th grade reading level. It's a variety of factors, right?
Yes, and that article does a very good job of explaining
yep.
it. So I highly recommend everybody read it. And I highly recommend that you explain that once you understand it, you tell your clients as well. It's one more thing that you offer that the next web writer doesn't.
Right.
And so it just makes you look that much better.
Yep. Yeah. And they just really appreciate that extra thought about their customer and their prospect. So for this formatted and layout example I provided, it's in Clear Path to Profits, the program you bought. So just take a look at it again and see how it's structured, because it follows standard user-friendly or usability aspects that, you know, Jacob Nielsen talks about and that really easy-to-use websites follow. Okay, and number 7 is, okay, you've screened your copy, you've made sure it follows the 5 C's, and you've got it in layout, and you've indicated where everything should go. Now you need to explain what you're giving to your client. And the reason you want to do this is to make sure you minimize confusion and that you covered exactly what the mission was. And if they had certain things that they wanted to make sure you did, you can just justify, yep, and you wanted me to make sure that I mentioned free shipping. I did that, as you'll see. So they know you're on the ball and that you've done everything you promised and that you've listened to them. That's the most important thing. So what I do is in an email, I'll write out, okay, here's the copy that we discussed, and I've attached it as Word and PDF documents, and then here's what you'll be looking at. and I go through each one. I have a headline that delivers your promise. I have subheads with or a subhead that explains it further, and then bullets that give each detail, detailed benefit, and what you how you provide that benefit. And then you'll notice that the links are hyperlinks in blue, and if you click on those, you'll actually go to the web pages. Those are all in there, so you know exactly where the links go. And I'll just walk them through in the email exactly what I did and why. And they, I can't tell you how much they appreciate this, because sometimes they're not, that person you emailed is not the only one looking at the copy. So they can forward it to other people and people who haven't even been involved in the project until now. And those people will instantly, hopefully, if you clearly explained everything, they will get what they're looking at and give good feedback to the main contact. I have on occasion worked with committees, and it just helps everybody hear the same thing at the same time, so there's just no confusion. And also people can chime in and email back as a group and say, I'm not sure I get what this means, and then I can explain it to them all as a group. So it's just really good to have an email like that where you're laying out everything very clearly and cleanly to them. And I have in my supplement that's online on that webpage, I have samples of two emails I've written, just examples. One was for a small company where the decision maker was the only person really that was going to look at this. And then one which was a very large company where there are maybe seven people looking at my copy. And so
Would you mind exposing one of your bigger clients' names, who you've worked with this?
Well, Harper is one of them, Harper College. They have different department people who are in charge of marketing, for example, the arts and the adult education and the high school admissions, and they all have their own agendas and their own knowledge or lack of knowledge about website copy. And they're awesome. They want to understand this. So I've even done a conference call with them because they had a lot of questions. And so they all sat in a room and they fired questions at me, and I answered what I could. And it's okay if you don't know everything right then. I just said, gee, you know, I'm going to check on that and get back to you. Like somebody said, how many hyperlinks is too many or just right on any given page? And I was like, you know, I'm not really sure. So I'll go check that out. And I went and did some research and found that maybe four or five are great, and more than that might be too many in the body copy itself. You don't want it to be a link, massive links, you know, because the eyes will go crazy. So anyway, that was just one example. And
excellent.
Yeah. Let's see, but those aren't the ones I used for my email examples, but it doesn't really matter. It's just kind of an outline approach that you can copy if you want. It doesn't bother me. So let's see, the bonus checklist item that isn't in that article from last week is about the copy submission at the point where you're giving it to a web developer. I can tell you that I've worked with maybe two dozen or so different types of companies and projects over the last 2 years, some very small and some as large as AWAI and others. And, you know, I mean, websites that are massive. And so the bigger ones have a system that they prefer and need for the copy to be sent to them so they can put it into their system easily. And so always ask the web developer, okay, how do you want the content from me? Is Word okay, or do you need it in rich text format without, because they might not want to use Word, they just want to copy and paste the raw text? You know, do you want it in PDF also so you can see what I intended? Do you want me to fill out a form on your website and cut and paste myself and put it into your format? This is really important because it just makes everything smoother, and it ensures that what you wrote is going to show up on the page the way you expected it to. There aren't going to be any surprises. So that's AWAI has a copy submission system, for example, that I learned about a while back. And it's quite thorough, and there's a lot to it, but it's very, very clear, and it just ensures that what I'm sending along is going to be you know, uploaded properly, and, you know, nothing is going to be missed. So
yeah, because on the AWS site, you know, as a web writer, you submit the content, but then it comes to me, being the overall marketing strategy person. It might go to a it'll go to one of the programmers who actually is going to put it online. The keywords go to another person who's updating that area of the site. So you've got, you know, three different people touching your content, and that sheet ensures that all of us do exactly what you intended to do with your copy.
Yeah, I was happy to have it. So there's no guessing and confusion. I don't have to get on the phone and go, well, I was hoping that the link could be here. You know, we don't have to do that. It's all very clear. And I think I put, I know I did, the AWAI copy submission system is actually on page 179. It starts there in the Clear Path to Profits program.
And while we don't typically share that with outside, you know, we gave Pam permission to use it with her in her program. And everyone who's on the call and who've purchased her program, you have our permission to use that as well. So if your client doesn't have a submission guideline, it's something that you can introduce that will, again, it's one more thing that you put in your arsenal of things that you offer above most copywriters and web writers. And, again, that will make, it's something that will make your process much easier with them.
And I'm going to mention one real quick thing before I stop with this part and answer questions. Some companies use an automated system that they can that's online. It's called a CMS, Content Management System. And, for example, if it's a small retailer and they've got a shopping cart and some product pages, it's quite common for them to use a system that they can get into by logging in online and writing the copy themselves or placing the copy in there themselves. And sometimes their CMS has limitations. You know, you can only put in 180 words per product or something like that. So be sure to find out if it's a, if it's an e-commerce site in particular, a store site, if they use that kind of software or that kind of program, because you will need to know that for the framework of what you're writing. And I've worked with a couple of them, those software programs, and they're challenging and fun. they have their limitations though, so you need to know that, and then you know what you're dealing with. So you know, big companies like L.L. Bean use them, of course, so they can have copy that they grab for all kinds of things, from their print catalogs to their online pages. But even smaller companies, tiny companies that are little stores with a very special niche, use these kinds of systems so they can get in and make it easy for them to do the shopping cart and all that stuff. Okay.
Good. So,
all right, so
we have a couple of questions. We actually have a little bit of time.
Yep.
If you don't mind asking a couple questions or answering a couple questions.
I don't mind at all. I know we got a few before the call, and I have them right in front of me. And
so let me go ahead and walk you through them just so that we are
sure.
On the same page.
Okay.
So the first one, somebody was asking about Elance, and I know
yeah.
that a lot of people, you know, the whole benefit of this checklist is to save your time. Because at the end of the day, as a web writer, I wrote about this on Wednesday, your time is a commodity. That's where you make all your money. So the more that you can save and the more efficient you can be, the better. So some of the offers on Elance request the bidder or the web writer to submit a strategy when they're for the project that the client has posted. And this listener is concerned with the amount of time that is spent on creating that proposal. What do you have to say? I mean, just about that, how much time do you take? How do you stop yourself from taking too much time? Because the fear there is spending a lot of time and then not getting the project.
Well, and the other fear for me is spending a lot of time and the client goes, hey, great strategy. I'm going to go do that now by myself. So here's my feeling, and this is my personal feeling, and it may not be the opinions of others, but I do not spend a lot of time on strategy up front, and whether it's for Elance or anybody. What I do is ask enough questions so that I can create a thoughtful proposal, and then I have a proposal template that I use. So it probably takes me about half an hour to create a polished proposal that's totally custom to what that person was asking for. But I don't get into strategically how we're going to solve their problem. I just say, I understand your problem. Here's my experience in solving it for others. Here's what we may include. And here is the cost estimate. And that's where I stop, because I have fallen into these traps where you give too much time and information, and they just go and run with it without paying you for that. And that's the worst thing. So I just feel like, I have never found Elance to be fruitful for me. And I gave it a good college try at one point when people were saying, hey, it could be awesome for you. Well, I tried it, and I did some of those proposals, and I never got anywhere. So it hasn't been an avenue for me. I have found that I find clients through referrals. And Joshua Boswell and Chris Marlowe and other people have awesome referral suggestions. I think that the B2B guys, the Wealthy Freelancer team there, Ed and Pete and Steve, also have a great referral program. That's really been 99% of how I get clients. I just let everybody and his uncle know what I do, especially people I used to work for or people who have small businesses that I know or my friend whose husband runs a small business online. I just use referrals. I just find that that word of mouth is 10 times more effective than Elance, which just hasn't done anything for me. So I hope that answers that question.
It does, and I'm just going to add two more points on that.
Okay.
Some of you who are just starting out, it might be hard to get referrals out of the gate. And so the way I would use Elance is just to knock off some quick, cheap projects to get your portfolio built. So if you think about it in that strategy that, you know, I agree with Pam. When I've used Elance to post for projects, I am looking for fast, cheap work that I really am not appreciating the copy that's being written. I just need it up, I need it fast, and I'm going to be changing it in the end anyways. But if you approach Elance from that perspective that, hey, these people really don't appreciate that, you know, good content, but then again, I just need some people for my portfolio, so I'm going to do some of these projects to get the assignments under my belt and then move on and get into the referral side of things, that's an option for you.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that I've found with Elance, when they're asking for a strategy, I'm not opposed as a client to paying for a strategy. So you might give me, like what Pam was saying, a overview, and here's what it would be for my overall project, but you could also go ahead and price out the strategy. Because for some, especially if I've never worked with you before, if it's a big project, I'm not 100% certain that you're capable of putting together that strategy, and I need someone, I'm looking for someone to be an advisor, not just do the work on the strategy that I already have. So it's certainly okay for you to come back and say, here's my fee for the overall project. I'm also happy to write a strategy up for you, and this would be my fee for that. So just something else to some other options there.
Right. Very good.
So another question somebody else had to do with royalties. If you've ever set up a contract with a client to be paid royalties in addition to your initial fees.
You know, I haven't. I just haven't gone that path. I know that in direct mail and the more traditional direct response type of writing, that's common, or it used to be, but it hasn't been in my world. So I can't really answer that question. I don't know if you can, Rebecca.
My experience, we typically only do them on sales pages, and the reason is it's very difficult with web writing to track the results on individual pages or a change. You know, you might come in and do optimization on one section of the website, but we don't necessarily know if those sales would have come in anyways, or is it because of the copy, or is it because of the optimization? So for us, it's typically on full sales pages, so which is basically a direct mail piece that's done for the Internet instead of, you know, a direct mail, a printed package.
Yeah.
So if it was me, I would, if I was writing a full sales letter, yes, I would offer that in as part of my package. It's always great if you can get a royalty because you're invested a little bit more in the project. Another option is to get a piece of the product sale, where you're not really working on a royalty, but really more on a success bonus, you know, a 10%
like a
kind of thing.
Sale.
Exactly. So, you know, you already know that you're expecting $50,000 of sales of this product this year. I would like, you know, 10% on anything over that. And that's part of a negotiation that you might be able to work in.
Mm-hmm.
So what else as far as other, Pam, do you have any other tips for people who are, you know, just think about the newer people who are just getting out there, have never worked with a client. What would you recommend that they do?
Well, one of the questions that I did get was about spec assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to that is that serves a great, great purpose. And I'll explain why. you need samples, and you need them fast. So if you can offer to do something for either an acquaintance or a business who wants to try you out, and you have not a lot of experience, but you just offer, hey, I'll do this for, you know, for free, but really what it would be great if you could give me, a testimonial. I can post your website, a link on my website, or I can use it for getting other business. And that's a nice trade-off. So I have done that now and then because I really wanted to have that in my portfolio. So if you're starting out, I know someone who traded a spec assignment and then got the job in trade for fitness classes that she didn't have to pay for.
Fun.
Yeah. So you never know. You can work out trade. I've done trade with some companies. I have a graphic designer I absolutely love, and she did my logo and everything in trade for me writing her website, which she hasn't even tapped into me yet for. So I got a bonus there. No, I owe her that. But so I'm happy to do trade, and I think writing a proposal for that, you just lay out the terms. Just say, yep, I'm going to do this for you with at no charge, but here is what we can agree to in return for that. And just lay out, A, a testimonial, B, a sample of the website, or I can use your website as a sample for my work and for my portfolio. So, yeah, that's what I would do. And then
excellent.
I know we have just a couple more questions, a couple more minutes, and I had three little questions here that aren't so little to the person who asked them, but they're quick. So one of them was, how much copy per page is about right? If you look at my supplement, the second email that's really long explains what the gurus out there, and there are lots of them, but the ones that I trust and respect say at least, except for maybe the home page, each page should have at least 250 words of copy. And the quick answer is because Google and other search engines want to rank pages according to a lot of criteria, but one of them is meaningful, relevant content. So if a page only has pictures, excuse me, and just a lot of graphics and maybe one or two words, the search engines can't necessarily see those pictures, and they may not rank that well because there isn't literally content on there. So that's what I'm hearing is the rule of thumb. I think Nick also mentioned this, 250 to 300 per page. And then what do you recommend for fonts? I would go with the best practices. I'd look at it's usually non-serif, which means Arial, Verdana, Calibri. Those fonts that don't have curly things on them. And I don't know how else to explain what a serif or non-serif font is. But I think that, you know, when you look around and do research to become better at what you do, you'll learn the standard, the best practices. And so Arial, Verdana, Calibri, I'm probably not pronouncing any of those right, but those are the standard fonts you usually see on web pages, and they're standard.
And it's really different with direct mail. In print, a serif font is the only font that you want to use because
right.
It's easier on the eyes.
Right,
and it just has a little. They have like little tails on them.
Yeah, if you look at the difference between Arial and Times New Roman, you may see what we mean.
That's exactly. You could just type one word in Arial and then type the same word in Times New Roman, and you'll see what the serif is.
Right,
but on websites.
Yeah, sorry.
On website, it's a not. You want to use a non-serif font. You will see sometimes AWI does break this rule, and a couple of other people. But usually, it's only when we assume the person is going to print out the page. If we think the person is going to read on the website, we keep it as a non-serif. And if we think the person is going to most likely print it out because it's a very high-priced item or just a lot of content, we might do it in a serif font because then when they print it, it'll be readable on paper.
Right, and so Times New Roman is a typical serif font,
serif.
And then Arial is a good one to compare. That's blocky. It's a non-serif. There's no curly things on it. And then the final question I got before the call was, what do you look for in a web developer? And I'm going to interpret this question hopefully right for that person who asked it, Larry. And I guess whenever I am asked to collaborate with either a web developer or a graphic designer for the web or any other vendor, and I often do suddenly become a virtual team member with people I've never met before, I like to see samples of their work. That will tell you everything you need to know. If the work is yuck, you're in trouble. If the work is great, you're in good company. They just need to understand, and sometimes they won't even really understand what you do and what you add. And I try to put it in real simple terms. It's like I write the copy that gets people to open their wallets. You know, I write the copy that gets people to understand instantly what that web page is about. And they go, oh, cool. And then sometimes I'll say, and also I can write the behind-the-scenes copy for SEO, which would be like the page descriptions and things that show up in search engine results. And that's something too deep to go into right now. But when I explain that to the web developer, they're usually quite on board, and then we figure out how we're going to work together. But I always want to see samples, because I've often run into graphic designers, for example, who say they're great, but they really have a print background, and their website designs are not user-friendly at all. So you just, you know, you'll learn through AWAI programs and through trial and error and just keeping your own research going. You'll learn what works and who does the work that works. How does that sound for a tongue twister?
I like it.
Yeah, and I think that's it.
Fantastic, Pam. Well, thank you very much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I'm sure all the people who've bought Clear Path to Profits appreciate it as well.
Oh, I hope so.
And like I offered at the beginning of the call, if you have a question, Denise, are you on the phone still?
I am indeed.
If you could tell them, I guess, where to email these questions to.
Certainly.
And I think we should just post maybe a follow-up memo on the CPP, the Clear Path to Profits member page.
All right. So if you have a question for Pam, please send it to webinarquestions@awaionline.com. And that will come to me, and I will forward it to her. But please put Pam Foster or CPP in the subject line so I know. I do want to thank you, Pam, for this overview, and I want to remind all of our listeners that we're going to post this recording along with information about the handout that Pam was referring to, and we're going to do a follow-up email giving you some of those links so you can all take time and look over the material. And Rebecca, thank you for being with us today as well.
Definitely.
This is all part of our interest, our continuing education interest, as it were, in your success. And we want to hear from you. We want to know how this stuff helps you in your career path. I do look forward to seeing both of you ladies in Vegas, and I want to invite any of our listeners, if they have any interest in finding out about the Las Vegas Web Copy Workshop, to please give Member Services a call. We'd be glad to fill you in. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Pam.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and I hope to see a lot of you in Vegas in the spring.
Terrific.
Awesome.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.